Okay, well, thank you very much for the introduction, and thank you for the invitation to talk here. My talk roughly starts where Laurence left, so I'll try to make my notation as consistent as possible with his. And the problem is exactly is that we try to answer a similar question to the one he posed. So to relate is to relate the cohomology of Ishimura varieties to the cohomology of the Rapoport zinc spaces or local models, but also not just in the basic case, but in all cases. So it's to relate. So to that of the Rapoport zinc spaces, so those are the ones that Laurent noted this way. And he didn't have an appendix, but I will put a little B because I will consider them for all B in this set, which was B, G, mu. So not just the basic cases, but also all the other cases. Okay. So the assumptions are very much the same. So the previous talk, meaning I'm considering only Ishimura varieties of PEL type. And so I will denote it like this is Ishimura. And I will consider the models a la Kotwitz in the sense that explained by Laurent, meaning I'll these are possibly finitely many disjoint union of what classically are called Ishimura varieties, the canonical model. So these are smooth, quasi-projective variety defining over a reflex field E, which is a number field which depends only on the group and not on the level. So K is the level, meaning an open compact subgroup of the adelic point, finite adelic point of G. And as Laurent pointed out, these are a natural interpretation as moduli spaces of abelian variety. And this with additional structure, these additional structure are dictated by the G and the H. So these are, in this case, are polarization, endomorphism, prescribed endomorphism, which are sort of compatible with the H, and the level structure depending on the level K. And so the idea is, again, you think of it as not just one variety at a time, but as a projective limit with an action of a Hecke correspondences. And the assumption, again, the same as Laurent. We're going to look at a prime P, which is unramified for the group G. And we will consider level. So that will guarantee you the existence of a hyperspecial subgroup with he denoted by C. I might slip into which is my original notation for the talk, so I'll put them both. This is a hyperspecial subgroup inside GQP. This is a maximal compact subgroup. And for this data, then there are some, if K is a level, is of a type anything away from P, but a P is C, so you can construct some integral models which are smooth, quasi-projective again, but define over the local ring of EV, where again, the same as before, V is a prime of the algebraic closure of Q over P. So it's exactly the same as in Laurent's talk, and we're interested in studying. So these form a projective system with just an action now of a point of adelic points away from P, because we don't allow the level of P to change. And we're interested in studying the reduction of this system mod P. So this is what Laurent de Noivre asks you. The residue field of EV and all that K bar for the algebraic closure. So this is roughly where was left, and Laurent already introduced a Newton stratification of this reduction. So he introduced a set defined by Cartwright, so B, so this is a set attached to the QP component of G and to mu corresponding to the co-character class attached to H. I will just write maybe BG mu from now on. So what is this set? Well, as you described, this is a sort of set of isogeny classes. Of PDBs in a group, or if you want to, are the most even classes of isocrystals, which are mu compatible. So for us, you can think in the following terms. For every point in the reduction of this Shimura variety, you can consider the universal abelian scheme at the point at that you get an abelian variety. And the PD visible part of this abelian variety is a Barsotti Tate group, which inherits additional section for your abelian variety. And this structure, again, is a polarization, some endomorphism, now what we call mu compatible, and no level at P, because we consider the case of no level at P. And so you can look at these, all the classes of isogeny classes, at the set of all isogeny classes of such Barsotti Tate groups. And this set is finite, it can be regarded as a set B, G mu. So you can think of it as a set of all isogenous classes of such P visible group. And in fact, this is the same as looking at the set of the Newton polygons of the SSRI isocrystal. So I will give you an example, but it's clear. So for example, height and dimension are fixed, depending on the abelian variety. So this is already a finite set, but you will expect to be less than all possible Newton polygons because the isocrystal has additional structure, so that will impose a certain condition on the kind of Newton polygon that can arise. So let me just give an example of what this set looks like. So let me just consider a purely local example where G is GLN and mu is a minuscule weight, so will be some a sequence of zeros and ones. So we'll sort of depend by an integer D. Then the set, you're looking at the Barsotti Tate groups with a height N and dimension D, which means all possible convex polygons starting from 0, 0 and ending at HD, which are convex, the integral vertices and slopes in the interval 0, 1. So things which looks like this, and maybe some intermediate one. And in fact, all possible polygons satisfying this condition appears in the set for these groups here. And so this way you can see that this set is not just a finite set, it's a set of a partial order. The partial order in terms of polygon just being the lines above. Turns out I'm not strong enough for this. So with a partial order which is just lie above, for polygons then in that sense you can speak about a minimal element and a maximal element the way Laurent discussed it. So minimal element is, I want the biggest one to be, lies below. Yes. Something is big if it's very low. Then the minimal element will correspond to the straight line over here. That's a basic element. And the maximal element will correspond to a possible lowest polygon. In this case, it's just the ordinary polygon. But as Laurent pointed out, in general, you have more conditions. For example, very often the ordinary polygon does not appear on the list. Okay, so the strata, the one we introduced before, you can think of this in relation to the question which was asked by Professor Rappaport, the strata, the Newton strata, which was introduced by Laurent with this notation, this corresponds to the point where a Newton polygon of the corresponding abelian variety is equal to B, and you can think of them, these are the locally closed strata, and sit inside the open, the closed strata. These are the closed Newton strata, which are given by the condition that the Newton polygon lies above a given one. And these are closed because of Grassmannic theorem, which says that under specialization, Newton polygon only goes up. And the question was whether this is the closure of this strata inside here is understood or not, which is still open. But at least now it's known that the other strata are non-empty. So you can really think of a set BG as a set of all possible Newton polygons. Meaning for a long time, people knew that somehow the condition of a Newton polygon was satisfied so that it would belong in that set, but it wasn't clear whether all of them were non-empty. So this is a theorem of Thorsten Wedhorn and Eva Vieven, that for every B in this set, these strata are non-empty. So this is the notation Laurent, but sometimes I will just use this notation here. And so the idea is to start to study each single strata and not just the closed one, the basic one. And the starting point is a theorem of Franz Hort, which discusses a foliation and a quasi-product structure of the Newton strata in the case of Ziegler variety that we can be used to be adapted in this context. So this is like Hort's quasi-product structure. And so you should think of this as a sort of the beginning. What we're trying to do is produce in incharacteristic P the equivalent of the periodic uniformization theorem of Rappaport and Zink. But in this case, it's not, like Laurent said, in the case of simple varieties, the Lubin test space is enough, you just get a point. Well, if you take a basic, you need to have more, you need to have you need to have a reduction of the Rappaport-Zink space for basic stratum, and in general, it's not enough even the reduction of the basic stratum, we need more, and that's more is given by the Gusow variety. So somehow the dimension, again, is not matching. The dimension of the whole Newton strata is not equal to the dimension of the reduction of the Rappaport-Zink space. It's too small, and so you need more. Okay, so let me describe the structure, so I'm going to start with two definitions. So the foliation, so to describe, it's like two foliation. One is called the exogenic foliation, and the other one is called the central foliation. So this, somehow you're looking at all the points where first of all, as a foliation, you start by fixing a point. So you fix, so in fact, let me fix a level with P, although all the time I will try to do things invariantly, so that when you take a projective limit, a formal limit, and their equivalence, I'll fix a stratum, so a Newton polygon in my Cockett set, and I'll choose a point, a closed geometric point on my stratum. And so you can think of this as an abelian variety, and in fact I'm most interested in the attached partial state group, which I'll just denote by XB. And I'll explain in a second why it's enough. So the first set I'm considering is a set of all abelian varieties which are exogenous to the one attached to X by a prime, a p power isogeny. So this is a closed subset of a Newton polygon. And so what is it's called a foliation? Well, it's not at every point you get the same, but if you take 2 points, then the corresponding leaf, while they're not the same, they emit a finite surjective correspondence between them. And in fact, such a correspondence depends on a choice of isogeny between the p-divisible group of the corresponding abelian varieties. So from okay. And the average, so you might already recognize this somehow looks a lot like it's somewhat related to the reduction of the Ramaphosian spaces. And the average leaf goes more in a, well, not orthogonal, but transversal direction to this, and they're called the central leaf. And this looks at the points whose p-divisible group is exogenous to the one fixed by p. So in fact, this really depends only on the p-divisible group you picked. When I say this, I really mean sort of geometrically. So you think about geometric points, and you took over some big, large algebraic closed field in characteristic p. And so again, this is a closed subset. This is somewhat harder to notice. The way this works is because it's in fact, you can always make a subset by asking the truncated p-divisible group to match. And then for n sufficiently large, that implies the whole p-divisible group match. And in fact, I think now work of Vasu and Nicole have an effective bound on how large the m needs to be for that to be true. But this is close. It's clearly smooth because of the definition, every point has the same local ring as a subset of so for the induced reduced structure. Is also equivalent once you let the level vary for the action of these isogenies, since this acts by isogeny with a prime to p. And again, the same as there. If you pick two different points, then there is the two leaves are not the same, but there is a finite surjective correspondence between them. And in fact, again, it depends uniquely on the choice of such a beta here. So it's sort of very limited. And the quasi-product structure constructed by Ort. Again, you can see how this is sort of defined for a single variety, but if you sort of think of your abelian variety with additional structure, and ask all of this to preserve additional structure, then you get the definition in general for PL touching varieties. Is the fact that you can sort of, it's not that the Newton stratum is a product, but there is, again, a finite surjective correspondence between the product and the whole Newton stratum. And again, why does this work? Well, it essentially works because you can find a uniform bound on the degree of beta, which works for a whole statin, which is not selling that if you have 2 points on the two bursitate groups which are exogenous, you can find an exogenous bound degree, just in terms of a polygon and nothing else. So the idea is sort of to manipulate this idea to make it, to fix it and get somehow something which is equivalent to the periodic uniformization theorem, but only in characteristic P to start. And so the first remark, as I said, the exogeny foliation somewhat very related to the Rabbe-Pazin spaces in characteristic P. So let me start by that. So the definition, so the Rabbe-Pazin spaces were introduced before by Laurent, they're the only this way. And he said we're like a modular space of P divisible group with additional structure and with fixed exogeny class in B. But in fact, so if you choose a representative in the class B, then you can describe this as like bursitic group with additional structure and is together with an exogeny from XB down to H, well, in characteristic P only. And this is, in fact, it suffices to ask this to be a quasi-exogeny and not a full exogeny. That means that I'm formally inverting P. And so with this definition, it's sort of clear. Well, you get a formal scheme, as was described before by Laurent. And this formal scheme is naturally endowed with an action of the quasi-exogenies of XB, which is a group of JB, which was on the board before, so it's a formal scheme. Over this was the maximum unramified extension of E completed, and it's a natural action of JB QP, which was introduced before, which can be viewed just purely in terms of XB as a group of a quasi-exogenies of XB. So that means the endomorphism of XB, which becomes invertible after tensoring up to QP. And you can just see that you're just basically composing on the left here. Having here is not so good for this piece. Okay. And so the map, essentially on points, you can sort of think of a following map for a choice of a point in the reduction of Yoshimura variety. You can think of a map from the reduction, so for reduced fiber of the Rabbe-Pazin spaces into the Newton strata, which actually the image is exactly the foliation introduced by Ort. Namely, if a point here will correspond to an H and a beta, well, you have a point in the Newton polygon, in the stratum, sorry. That means you have an abelian variety, and its P divisible group, you can choose it to be your fixed XB. So now the choice of this XB doesn't change the isomorphism class of the space. And then what you're sending it is, to the abelian variety, which is the quotient of A attached to X by the kernel of beta. So this gives some idea of what the map is. So in a way, you can sort of think of the reduction of the Rabbe-Pazin spaces as some sort of cover of the exogeny class, exogeny leaf. So the next ingredient is sort of correspond to the central leaf, and so there are one called the Agusa varieties. And I should say, well, the name goes back to Agusa. The idea to use them to study the reduction mod P of Shimura variety really goes back to Harris and Taylor. So the idea is that we're going to introduce some appropriate cover of the central leaf, which we call the Agusa varieties. so that we can describe, eventually the goal is to describe the stratum as a quotient of the Raupo zinc spaces product with the Gusa varieties. That's the idea. So in order to define it, we need a little bit more information first. So here's a theorem. Really, before I touch the Gusa variety, let me just say something about the group JB, since it was only glanced before. So before, Laurent just explained how this is a group which is an inner form of a Lewis group of G, and in the basic case is actually an inner form of G itself and is an infinitely F. And in fact, in a very explicit notation that I have, you can see more clearly what this group is, because from a DNA Manning, every p-divisible group is exogenous to direct sum, so the category semi-simples is exogenous to the direct sum of simple object, and the information on what you need to use is what comes from a polygon. So you get one simple object per side, so one each side of a polygon, and so depends on the slope of a side. And R, the multiplicity with which a simple object arrives, somehow is the multiplicity of a slope on the polygon. And this is the data. And this is only up to exogeny, but in fact, if you look at the isoclinic component, which I will denote like this, which is basically this package, the part corresponding to one of each side, but not written as a multiplicity of a simple object, this is actually canonical and uniquely determined up to isomorphism over a perfect field. And so with that description, what is a group of the endomorphism? Well, the endomorphism will preserve the canonical structure, which is called the slope decomposition. So this splits as a product of a local of some groups, one per each slope. And what is each of these then? Well, this is a simple object, so it's actually his endomorphism rings are division algebras. So this is just, GLR of a division algebra depending on lambda, some product. So this is a sort of a quasi-exogenous of a simple object lambda, which is uniquely determined by lambda. So then you can see, the case I'm discussing here is as an example. Again, is a case of GLN and mu D. So this is a Bartosz state group of a certain height and dimension. This is what the inner form is. And then you can see this is an inner form of the Levy, which is depends on the partition of N corresponding to the coordinates of the vertices. Yeah, so the polygon was from 0 to n, and n, and the coordinate will give you a partition of n, and that's exactly the partition of n which determines this Levy subgroup. And so it's also obvious from this description, but indeed, the only case where you get a basic, the only case when you don't, the partition is trivial is when there is no vertex, which means that your polygon is a straight line, which is a basic case. So now I get to the Gusa varieties. So the structure of a slope decomposition exists only over a perfect field, but something else is known when your p-divisible group is over a smooth basin characteristic P. So this is a theorem of zinc, and then later on sort of extended by Ort and zinc to, I think, the case of a normal base. But it says that if you have a p-divisible group over a smooth scheme in characteristic P, then the p-divisible group doesn't necessarily decompose. So the slope decomposition is the one I describe over here, where each component is isoclinic, meaning has a straight line, but is will omit the filtration. By p-divisible group, such as the subquotients. Arbasatite groups, which are as a clinic, meaning corresponding to a straight line for every eye. So in general, G doesn't have a filtration. It's only up to exogeny. It will be exogenous to one with a filtration, but in fact, the catch is that if you look at the special case we're interested in, meaning the case of a universal PD visible group over a smooth, over a central leaf, so the central leaf, I said, they're smooth, so you can use this theorem, and in fact, as long as it's sort of an X, which is, I think is enough to pick it actually to be a geometric close point, then not only you have a filtration, but a filtration is on your PD visible group and not up to exogeny, so this has a filtration. So it's not up to exogeny. And it's also clear from the definition that each of these pieces, the subquotient at every point Y of the leaf, is isomorphic to the corresponding isoclinic piece of the PD visible group X because of the uniqueness of the slope filtration and the fact that G is isomorphic to XB on the points. So the point is like the filtration basically at each point is split, but overall is not split. So why are we also sort of obsessed with isoclinic PD visible group instead of like the whole PD visible group? And the reason is because if you trivialize isoclinic PD visible group, you get a tall covers. And that's essentially the idea behind the Guza varieties. So the Guza variety, say on level M over CX, is a classifying space. The spelling is pretty bad. For basically isomorphism between the truncated Bersatite group, the slopes of isoclinic pieces, and the corresponding isoclinic pieces. Here has truncated Bersatite groups. So this is for every eye. And so if you put them all together, taking direct sum, then this is just your XB, the PM part. And so you can see that these varieties are naturally endowed with an action of JB, well, the ZP point. Yes. So here is just, in general, over a smooth space or over a normal space, is only up to exogeny. But over this space in particular, you can prove that actually it's a universal PD visible group which is endowed with an exogeny. Oh, yes, I'm so sorry. So I need to tell you the order in which you're taking the slopes. I apologize. Yes, so these are as a clinic of slope lambda I. And so, well, these are the slopes, are the slopes of beta, so they come from the Newton polygon. B attached to the Newton polygon, but they're taken in a very precise order, which is a decreasing order. So this is a generalization of a standard local etal filtration. Yes, sorry. Okay, so maybe I'm going to start saving space because these are too heavy for me to move comfortably. So these are the proposition here. As I said, because we're only looking at isoclinic pieces and not a full, a random PD visible group, what you get, these are finite and etal covers. So finite rule is obvious, but the etal part, that's what comes from being isoclinic with the Galois group. And Galois, sorry. The Galois group. Exactly this JBZP mod UM. Where UM is the obvious the kernel of the projection mod P to VM. So, not only, but because the central leaf will preserve by exogeny, then actually the Guza variety also form an inverse system. So we'll form an inverse system for the level away from P and for the level M. And as an inverse system is endowed with this action, which is sort of lifting the action over the central leaf inside the Newton polygon, and also with the action of the integral point of JB. So as a system, the action of the integral point can be extended to an action of correspondences. Well, so honestly, not of the whole QP, but of enough of QP that on cohomology you have a full action of QP. Okay, so these are the Eigenvectors of varieties. And so the idea now is that the replacement for Rappaport and Zeng's periodic uniformization characteristic P should be a theorem which sort of describe the Newton polygon as a quotient of a product of the Eigenvector varieties, which I'm thinking as a projective limit as M gets bigger and bigger, times the reduction of the Rappaport Zeng spaces, which I'm actually thinking as an inductive limit, since these spaces are only a finite type. So I will think of them as sort of a direct, an inductive limit of things of finite type, which you can think about by truncating the, bounding the degree of isogeny. And then you can construct a system of map pi with certain properties. So first of all, this map is a compatible system, although maybe not compatible in the most obvious way. Well, first of all, this is a projective limit and this is a direct limit, but also there is some twist that is only compatible up to power of Frobenius. The system is invariant for the action of the Hecke correspondences, so of the adelic point away from P of G. The action is defined on this Newton polygon and on the Eigenvector variety and is trivial on the Rappaport Zeng spaces. Is also JB QP invariant, where you're looking at the action of this group JB on the Eigenvector varieties diagonally with the Rappaport Zeng spaces. And maybe more importantly, if you look at any point, these maps are finite and become surjective if you move along enough in your along your system. And if you take any point of a Newton polygon, and you can consider sort of the fiber over a point, these regard as like, again, an inverse limit and direct limit for such a system with M and sort of N, as I said, I want to think of this as inductive but bounding the degree of isogeny. These has a natural action of JBQP, and in fact is a free principle homogeneous spaces for the action of this group. So what it does for us, I'll say in a second what the map is. What it does is basically saying that if I take the whole limit here, then it's realizing the Newton polygon as a quotient of this product by the action of that group. So it's in that sense, it's a sort of the analog of the periodic uniformization theorem is again realizing sort of a describing up to isomorphism the Newton stratum. This is just in characteristic P, though. And so out of this, you can sort of manipulate this knowledge in order to get a cohomological formula describing the cohomology of a Newton strato in terms of a cohomology of a Rapoport-Zink spaces as follows. Also looking at the cohomology. So now I'm going to drop the KP. So this compatible system, again, there is a lot of things which are moving. The B is fixed, but I'm allowing the level away from P to move, and I'm allowing the level on the Gusa varieties and the degree of exogeny to move. So I can look at the Newton polygon stratum and compute its cohomology. So this is a representation. So the dot is like in Lorentz, represent the alternating sum in the Grothendieck group of the points away from P and the V group. And this is the same as Tor of JBQP, again a smooth representation of the cohomology of a reduction of the Rapoport-Zink spaces. With the cohomology of a Gusa varieties. Where this sees the action, this is the action of a V group, and this sees the action of the point away from P. And of course, they both are endowed with an action of JBQP, but once you take a tour, that sort of match up and disappear. So this is, except for the Tor, and I'll speak in a second, it's very similar to the formula Ran had. But it's only for the reduction of P for a moment. And so you would like to lift it to get a formula for the Shimura varieties characteristic 0. And for the Rapoport-Zink spaces, not just the reduced fiber. So what does it need to do? What is... left. So this. So how to proceed in order to get a formula in characteristic zero? Well, there's sort of two steps. You need to, first of all, it's not. We also would like to just not get a formula for just say, which ignore the action of P, but you would also like to put the level at P into the picture, so that that you get a full cohomology and not just a piece in the cohomology. So you will. So the first step is sort of to extend this discussion to the case of so how you get information like that? First of all, you only get this strategy will only work if the Shimura varieties are proper. And the reason is, in the case where they're improper, well, then we're at least close to get the whole information, because if they're proper, then you can compute the cohomology of the whole Shimura varieties in terms of the vanishing cycles and the cohomology of the special fibers. So for proper variety, this can be computed in terms of the cohomology of the special fiber with coefficient in the attached vanishing cycle once you choose appropriate integral models. So this is representation of G of A F and of a V group. And, well, what is the Newton polygon stratification? So, as Laurent remarked, the Newton polygon stratification is actually preserved by all the action of G of AF. So, this will decompose in terms of this strata. So all you have to do is sort of have a control theorem. Well, first of all, you need to extend this sort of theorems to the case where you allow a level structure P, and then you need to allow to understand what happens to a vanishing cycle. So to extend the theorem to include the cohomology coefficient in vanishing cycle sheaf. So sort of a two-step process that is left. One is to include level at P, meaning allowing level K of a form K away from P and K at P for KIP inside our comp hyperspatial C. And then second, you would like to control also the cohomology with vanishing cycle. If you want, you can also think of this as just one large step, where in that formula you allow to put in the cohomology with vanishing cycle attached to the integral models we have built at Kotwitz. We position the push forward from the covers corresponding to the level at P of a constant sheaf. This sort of this introducing level is basically taking care of the push forward and then the vanishing cycles. So you can also think about it just one big step. So maybe it's time to describe this map here. So the map So I'm not going to describe a map as a compatible system. It's a little bit complicated. What I'm going to do, I'm going to describe it on points. So I'm just going to take geometric points. I'll describe it on the inverse limit, where I can sort of talk about points in the inverse limit. So I'm just going to describe something that you can call big pi, or if you want the inverse limit of these, and just what happens on geometric points. So what is a point in the sort of big inverse limit of these spaces? Well, it's a point on the Gusa variety, which means it's an abelian variety coming from Yoshimura varieties, whose Newton polygon is B, and has whose PDV is a group is isomorphic to a fixed one, XB, which is fixed. That's what happens on the limit. And on the other side, what you have a Newton, you have a PDV of a group H, together with an isogeny from the same fixed polygon into H. So where are you going to send this point? Well, the way it's defined, you're going to send this to A of X modulo the image of the kernel of beta under the isomorphism alpha. So this describes H as a quotient of XB, which gives you a kernel. You copy the kernel into this side, that gives you a subgroup of the abelian variety, and you take the quotient. And what you get is an abelian variety. You can check basically that because this is an isogeny which preserves all the additional structure, and so if this isomorphism, these abelian varieties endowed with all the additional structure you need to make it a point in your Shimura variety in characteristic P. And in fact, you know, if you look at what is a PDV is a group of this abelian variety, it really is just H. So it's a point in this Newton polygon here. Since H is a point, is something which is isogenous to B, so it's a Newton polygon B. So this is just some points, it's not what happened, that's a in real life, you have this trivialization at every finite level, but they're only with the subquotient of this PDV of a group. There's a clinic subquotient, and not with the whole PDV of a group. But the key observation, which is why you get this power of Frobenius coming, the compatibility, is that if you hit your PDV of a group at sufficiently many power of Frobenius, the slope filtration starts splitting. So for a sufficiently power of Frobenius, the P2VM torsion will have a split slope filtration, so you really get an isomorphism. And to copy the kernel of a bound degree, you only need an isomorphism of bound degree for the truncated PDV of a group. And so that's how you make it work in general. And it really takes advantage of the slope filtration and the fact that it gets split after hitting the power of Frobenius. So Okay, so let's get to this problem. So as I said, you have your groups of varieties and you have opposing spaces in characteristic P, and this maps pi to the Newton polygons. And these are all without level at P. So the first thing, you would like to introduce some level at P. which means some integral model which is a cover, a finite cover, here at P, you let your Gussow radius P, you put level structure also on this side, so you have two different notion of level structure, you have a covers for the Shimura varieties, and you have covers for Verapa Zinc spaces, because they both came as a package with a tower system. And the first question is whether you can lift this map. So the point is, like, you can choose, if you choose these models, the integral model to be, so to have a model interpretation, then it's actually fairly easy to check whether this map lifts or not. And so that's why you can choose the integral model to be coming from the notion of Drinfeld level structure. So they are finite, which means they will compute the right vanishing cycles, and have a very easy interpretation as just a Drinfeld level structure on the P to the M torsion of your P divisible group. And if you look at the map, the P divisible group I get on the image is exactly the same as H, which tells if you have a level structure in H, you will get a level structure in A. So which somehow tells you that, in fact, this map does lift once you introduce the level structure at P, because you can copy the level structure H down to your A. Then, that roughly speaking, takes this theorem here, and it sort of make it, instead of a, this will be sort of was a limit over just a level away from P, which is why you only have this, but you can make it as a limit with also level at P, which is sort of getting close to what you hope to have, will be the case where of a zero level on the vanishing cycle. Oh, sorry, it just is so hard to push. Okay. So now, what about the vanishing cycle? So, it's something to add here in this formula. So that is what you would like to have on the left hand side. But on the right hand side, so the formula, the Gold theorem is the following one, let me write it, is that the homology of the Shimura varieties, so the whole tower, with the, I put QL bar coefficient, but you can do with any of those list sheaves that Laurent had. So you would like to write it in terms of the cohomology of the Verapa Zinc spaces. So the formula I want to write is the following one, which looks a lot like the formula that Laurent had. So there is an addition of rho B, because I'm putting all the Newton polygon in together on the X of the GQP smooth representation on the cohomology of the Verapa Zinc spaces. You know, this is the whole tower of them with a Lattice coefficient. And I believe there is also a twist here by minus the dimension that Laurent forgot, because I think it's the same in both the formula, with the cohomology of the Gussow varieties of the QL coefficient. So this is the formula we like to have. To get the left hand side, you put in the vanishing cycle attached to the integral model of the Shimura varieties. To get a formula on the right hand side, these, in fact, are the stores we had there. But this time, the coefficient of the Verapa Zinc spaces are on the vanishing cycle, but not the one coming from the Shimura varieties, the one coming from the integral model, the natural integral model of the Verapa Zinc spaces. So when I said you would like to sort of include vanishing cycle, but it's a little bit of a misleading sentence, because you would like to include the vanishing cycle of Ishimura varieties on the left-hand side and the vanishing cycle of Rapoport zinc spaces on the right-hand side. In other words, it's not enough. You're going to need to sort of, you can extend this map, and then you're going to ask whether you can lift this map to characteristic zero. And if you can, if this lift to characteristic zero in the same sense as Laurent, where here you take the corresponding tubular neighbored, the integral model of the Rapoport zinc spaces, and the tubular neighbored on top of the Guza variety, and you ask yourself whether this map lifts, well, this map, if it lifts, will automatically produce a map from the vanishing cycle of the Ishimura varieties restricted with the Newton strata into somehow the vanishing cycle, whatever they are, of these funny tubular neighbors of the product. And these, on the other hand, using the projection onto the Rapoport zinc spaces, we'll have a map from the projection, the pullback under the second projection of the vanishing cycle of the Rapoport zinc spaces. So you can think of this as map on cohomology, right? Somehow you have a map from here to here and a map from here to here. And this map is clearly an isomorphism because the Guza variety is smooth. And so the question is whether this map is an isomorphism. And so the existence of this map is sort of related to the ability of lifting it out locally only, actually, this map pi to pi hat. But the fact that the map gives an isomorphism on the vanishing cycles eventually, this isomorphism, which is one you need in order to put it inside this formula here, that comes from the same remark as Laurent had before, that somehow the local rings of these two spaces, they're identified with the deformation space of PDVs of a group, so are the same. So this map essentially is formally smooth. So once you have these three ingredients, that actually the formula from a Tor with coefficient and vanishing cycles become the formula which is very similar to the one from Laurent. And the only remark is the Tor turning to X might seem a little strange, but that is somehow coming from some Poincaré duality happening on the vanishing, on the Rapoport zinc spaces, which are, you know, an inductive limit. So it's sort of a, for getting compact cohomology, you need to sort of dualize again. Okay. Yes. Yes, so no. So the Frobenius ambiguity is not ambiguity, it's more like a bookkeeping. So it's more like Frobenius bookkeeping, in the sense that you have this power of Frobenius, so when you package things, you need to sort of adjust the power of Frobenius so that, as you wish, the action of the Galois representation here, the Frobenius, matches exactly to the one on the Rapoport zinc spaces. So it's just a question of a You get some information, as I said, of what power of Frobenius you need to sort of keep track. Yes, because it's smooth in characteristic P, so has no action. So the action is really only controlled from the Rapoport zinc spaces, and so here you only have Frobenius, and once you go to the vanishing cycles, I should have said that these are representation of inertia, and you need to check that again they match. So it's true. I mean, somehow this compatible out to power of Frobenius is more important than it sounds. I mean, you need to really be able to control it to make sure that not just the action of GAF, but also the Galois action matches. Yes, so sorry. So again, the notation of all these dots is sort of meant to sum on the Grothendieck group. It should be said, it's not obvious at all a priori, then this is a finite sum, but it is.
But
Yes, so all of these are generally spectral sequence. So it starts from here, where the spectral sequence is basically analogous to the Hochschild-Serre. It's sort of, you know, you're realizing that the Newton polygon is a quotient of a product. So you get homology on the group into the cohomology of the product, and then you use Kunneth formula to split it, which is actually also why you need to have a formula of this shape to use Kunneth again to split it off. Well, there is one reason why I keep all these dots, is I have no idea. I mean, it's a very good question, and it's not obvious at all. I mean, in some sense, it's not even obvious how things match up in this, yeah. Probably, yes, most likely, but I don't know. I am guessing, but yeah, you might. Maybe Sagu knows more. And as you said, the formula I get, I hope Sagu will explain why it's good to get it. But to get away from the case of non-proper ones? Well, so the problem with non-proper, there are sort of two things. One is light under the carpet, which is actually, when you use this integral model from Drenfeld, you really only have action of GZP. And to extend it to action of GQP, you need to be a little bit more careful. And it really, really helps to know that this sum matches with the one on the Shimura varieties where there is an obvious action of GQP. So, but even getting away from that part, there is an issue where, like, I can sort of compute these pieces on the right-hand side, but I don't know what they are. Right? And so now there is some difference between the right-hand side and the left-hand side in the non-proper case. So the difference is not much, but there is some difference. So. I think so, yes. Yes, they eat the boundaries. Sorry, so for me, when I said compactness, I did think about compact Shimura varieties, right? I wasn't thinking in terms of group. Yeah. Yes, I don't think so, but again, Sogu, yeah, I mean, Sogu deals with endoscopy, right? And use proper Shimura varieties, so I will say no. But yeah, sorry, I misunderstood the question. I was thinking.
Any more questions? Let's thank the speaker again.